this anymore. All right, no problem. Go ahead. Are you ready? Get to the first questions first. Are you still with the AFC?
I haven't officially resigned, and to the best of my knowledge, I haven't been expelled or asked to resign as yet.
Why you say as yet? Do you expect to be?
No, not necessarily, but I'm just saying that hasn't happened so far, so.
Okay, the AFC has been having meetings with its members and executives to decide on parliamentary representation. Were you a part of those discussions?
No. I haven't been involved in any meetings of the Management Committee or the National Executive Committee of the AFC since early March or middle of March.
Do you want to continue with the party?
Well, the truth is, I don't believe that I can make a useful contribution to the AFC on its current trajectory. I was waiting to see, and maybe hoping to see a change in that trajectory that would tell me that the party was sort of returning to its founding principles and seeking to re-engage with its swing voter constituents rather than simply trying to appeal to a largely PNC support base. Mm-hmm. And they're not knocking the PNC support base. It's a large base, it's a loyal base, it's a good base, but for the PNC. Mm-hmm. The AFC was able to carve up a niche in the wide electorate from which it drew its support independently. And to me, that's where its value lay. And if it abandons that niche in favor of another party support base, then to me the AFC loses the value that it had either as a coalition partner or as a balance of power. So I am sort of in limbo. I'm waiting to see what the AFC's new position will be, if there will be a new position or a new posture or a new direction or strategic direction. I'm simply waiting to see how they will handle this very sticky situation that they have, or we have got ourselves into.
And when you say you want to see a new direction from the current trajectory, could you explain a bit more where you think they're currently erring, and where you hope to see them go? What would give you trust in re-entering politics under the AFC?
My first thought, me re-entering politics is not really the issue. I really don't see my future in party politics. I got involved in politics because I liked the AFC. I liked what the AFC stood for and mm-hmm. the possibilities that it presented for breaking away from ethnically determined electoral outcomes that we had for a long time. Because for the most part, what we had were two major political parties that relied primarily on Indo and Afro-Guyanese support bases respectively. And one base was larger than the other base, and therefore they had an advantage at the polls. And I saw the AFC as a party that could win enough votes from all ethnicities to become a balance of power and to prevent the winner-takes-all abusive type of governments that we had become accustomed to. Mm-hmm. And up until, I would say, March of this year, I was satisfied that the AFC could continue to play that role. It's more difficult within a coalition government when you find yourself on the same list of candidates as your partner. Mm-hmm. But I still thought, like I said, up to March of this year, that the AFC could have continued to play that role somehow. after what happened in March, and I'm speaking specifically about the AFC's silence on what was a very glaring and blatant attempt by Mr. Mingo and whoever he was colluding with to make a declaration based on his own figures or false figures or figures that were not supported by the SOPs that GCOM had in their possession and that the other parties had in their possession.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the AFC made a wrong call on that particular issue. And I you know, from that perspective, I'm not sure how you recover from something like that. That's why I said I was waiting to see what new strategic direction the AFC would take, you know, what sort of introspection and reevaluation of the current political status,
mm-hmm.
you know, would be done internally and how they would deal with the situation. I don't have any suggestions. But I think the leadership exercised bad judgment at that point and never actually sort of looked back. They just went further and further down that very slippery slope of being a political party and ignoring something that everyone else saw and was screaming about, and we chose to brush it aside as if it never happened. And I thought that in doing so, we lost the trust of that very niche or that support base that AFC brought independently to the coalition.
After that time, did you express your views to the party?
Before
at March 5th?
I made any public statement, I expressed my views to the party, yes. I didn't just come out and say, you know, what I said.
Mm-hmm.
During the week of elections, I think specifically the Friday,
mm-hmm.
The Friday and the Saturday, I made it very clear what my views were. And during the ensuing week, I did continue to express my views or my position
mm-hmm.
on what was occurring or what was unfolding.
What was the reception from your colleagues in the party, the executive? Did anybody reach out to you to say, Dominic, how could you, or Dominic, you should do this, or anything like that?
Not exactly. The reception wasn't hostile or anything like that. I think what was happening was that I can't speak for anyone else, because everybody has their own way of mentally reconciling events and coming up with their own positions. But I got the impression that what they saw was that the AFC or the coalition was on the brink of being declared a winner in the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to hear anything that would, I guess, detract from that victory. That was my impression. And any other view or any other position could be dealt with by means of an elections petition or some other means. But at this point, you know, Mr. Mingo made a declaration, and you know, we were the beneficiaries of that declaration, and therefore shouldn't question it.
And you felt that it was fraudulent?
I know it's it was fraudulent.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing, there's no evidence to suggest otherwise. The numbers were fictitious. He made up those numbers. The numbers were not supported by statements of proof that anybody can show me.
And when your own party supported a view by the APNU, well, there wasn't a separation actually. The coalition supported the view, or offered a view that there were a lot of irregularities during the process.
The recount, you mean?
Not the recount revealed, they said, but during the actual polling process, there were a lot of irregularities and it was fraud and all of that. How do you feel about this?
Sort of mixed feelings about that. On principle, any irregularities uncovered during the recount process should be investigated internally by GCOM, and also should be the subject of an elections petition, so that the courts can, you know, legally examine whether, you know, these irregularities actually occurred as a result of an attempt to defraud the system, whether they were deliberate. You know, a court should adjudicate on those matters. So I would support an elections petition being brought to the High Court, filed with the High Court, and a proper examination of those irregularities. And also that GCOM internally cannot ignore those all those complaints or irregularities, whether or not, I mean, I understand the position that they are not, they don't have the
authority
to, on the basis of irregularities, invalidate votes, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone past that, and there are a number of irregularities that have been brought to the attention of the Commission, and I think it's incumbent on the Commission to examine, investigate those irregularities, if only, you know, for the purpose of improving their own systems and ensuring that, you know, their systems are strengthened in time for our next elections. So I don't dismiss the allegations of irregularities. I do, however, believe that it represented an about turn in the coalition's position. I mean, in the first instance, we are saying to the public and to our supporters, look, we won this election. A declaration has been made, at least by the regional officer, and no final declaration should be made based on those results, and that is what we want. And we even went to court to, or at least we facilitated the court matter that sought to avoid the recount. And then once the recount got underway, the position then changed that to one where the election was no longer credible.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that in any election you will find irregularities.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue is whether the irregularities were sufficient to change the result of the election, and B, the result of fraudulent or deliberate attempts to interfere with the system. That is, to me, what is important. Just to say, okay, we have some impersonations, or we have some documents missing, or we have, you know, whatever the irregularities were, does not outweigh the constitutional right of a person, of all of us, to vote, to go out and vote and have our vote. come there. Mm-hmm. So you can't tell me that you found some irregularity and therefore my vote no longer counts.
But go ahead.
Yeah, no, so it depends on the scale of the irregularities. I personally believe the claims were exaggerated.
That's what I was about
to my
ask.
Basis for saying this, mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it's pretty much what one would expect under the circumstances from political players. If you claim you won an election and then it turns out that, okay, maybe you haven't won the election, but we'll do a recount and the recount is not going your way, then the next best option is to try to discredit the election. So on that score, those claims were to be expected and came as no surprise.
Mm-hmm.
The other matter had to do with the discipline services votes and the claim that those were deliberately being suppressed or being rejected because, you know, most of the, a large percentage of the discipline services members would have voted for the coalition and it was a deliberate attempt to have those votes rejected. The facts don't support that.
Mm-hmm.
At all, right? The numbers, the facts, nothing supports that. That was a claim that was made, a very serious claim that was made.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you start making claims and losing credibility, then all the other claims tend to fall into the same, how should I put it? They tend to be as unconvincing, you know?
So in essence, you didn't buy it?
No, I don't buy it, but like I said, I do not believe that we should dismiss the claims. And I believe very strong that all claims should be properly investigated.
Yes.
If somebody has impersonated a dead person or a migrant, I think GCOM should try to get to the bottom of it and find out how it could have happened, if indeed it happened. So first of all, they need to find out if this actually happened. Is there, was this person alive or is there some other explanation? Because it's difficult to prove a lot of things, huh? It's easy to make allegations. Proving them is very different. You know, I have a number, there are a number of people who have the same names. So first of all, if somebody is supposedly dead, you know, you have to establish where it's the same voter, you know, with the same ID.
And
that person registered at that particular polling station is the dead person. And then having established that, no, you have to establish whether or not they voted.
Okay.
GCOM, I think, would have their, you know, the name kicked off or scratched out on the list of, on their list. So all those documents have to be consulted and then GCOM has to say, yes, indeed, someone who was there before the date of election actually is listed here as having voted. How did that happen? And they need to explain to the public how that happened. They need to explain to the public what actually took place with those East Coast boxes that where all the documents were missing. The number keeps changing. I don't know if it's 29 or 41 or 27 or whatever, but there were a number of boxes on the East Coast where supposedly there were no documents inside other than the ballots. So GCOM needs to explain that and whether they have those documents in their possession or what became of those documents. That warrants an investigation. So all these things need to be investigated and explained to the public, and the systems need to be corrected or improved so that these things don't happen again. You know, and the courts will have to determine whether on the basis of what occurred, this election was, you know, the results of the elections should be upheld or not. You know, that is not my call, but I do think these things should be investigated.
As well as
the Ningo declaration and how he arrived at his numbers purportedly from statements of poll.
Should be investigated by whom?
Pardon?
Yeah, should be investigated by whom? Should it be a criminal investigation, a GCOM investigation?
GCOM should first of all produce those statements of poll that form the basis of Mr. Mingo's declaration.
Okay.
I would assume that in the Lewinfield court matter, that will somehow come to light, but if it doesn't, it can't be left hanging. You cannot do what was done, and then we just say, okay, we move on from there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, were it not for Mr. Mingo's declaration, I hate to single out Mr. Mingo, mm-hmm. but had he not intervened in the manner in which he did, then the PPP would have been declared the winner on maybe March 6th or whatever, and all other matters would have, you know, been the subject of an elections petition. Instead, we went through this very costly exercise, this recount. It has had a serious impact on our society, you know, on social cohesion, on our economy, on the general political climate. You know, it was not our finest moment as a country, and I think it cannot just be left to fade away. Something very wicked, I think, was attempted, and we need to get to the bottom of this. And if, just supposing that, you know, all of us are wrong, and Mr. Mingo was merely reading out results that were actually on the statements of poll, then I'm sure a lot of us will have to now retract our statements and so that we made, which is fine. But one way or the other, we need to get to the bottom of that.
Mr. Gaskin, you come with a very complex family dynamic. Yourself is AFC, you have a brother that supports the PPP, your father-in-law was the president and leader of the APNU. First of all, was any of your decisions influenced, one, by your brother, Marcel?
Not at all. Not at all, and I don't know that he is necessarily a supporter of the PPP.
Yes, sir.
He probably answers better than I can. So I'm not really sure of where he stands in relation to the PPP. But no. Not at all. I don't. I think we are all capable of independently arriving at our conclusions and positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. But the answer is no, not at all.
And that's on your brother and on your father-in-law and the relationship with your wife. Has your position caused any strain in that relationship, either with your wife and the former president?
Not to the best of my knowledge. I think we all mature enough to understand that to keep politics out of family, and my view is that is what has happened in this case. I don't I don't consider that an issue. That's something that I really want to dwell on or even discuss, because I don't think it's relevant to the situation that occurred. You know, it's a personal issue which I don't think is relevant, you know, on a large scale. It might have some gossip value, but outside of that, you know, I don't think it's relevant.
It's very relevant, Mr. Gaskin, in that here you are, the son-in-law of a sitting president, who would have endorsed all of these positions that you claim are wrong, for starters. You have your own children in the mix who would have suffered, according to your own description of some of the, how do I put it? Some of the effects of this elections in having to cope with all that was happening, the ethnic divide and all of that. And here you are caught in the middle. That in no way, you're saying that all of you were able to successfully compartmentalize and separate your political positions from your personal positions when you met as a family?
Well, I can only speak for myself and from what I have seen or experienced. So I haven't seen, felt any backlash. But I have been very mindful of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I have not been doing interviews or anything, at least while the matter was unresolved, because I felt that, you know, I'm not naive enough to not understand that
it can have an impact.
The position, you know, it's juicy gossip for a lot of people. I can easily be used if I would go out and speak freely, and so, you know, it's a good for a lot of, I guess, those who don't support the coalition. It's a bit of a feather in the cap to be able to say that, look, the, you know, former minister or president's son-in-law or blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand all of that, and I therefore deliberately did not, you know, stray outside of my few Facebook posts in which I
was very harsh against the administration.
Myself with the position taken by the coalition.
But you were very hard against his administration. You said he was fooling his supporters.
Not he, I said the coalition.
Of which he is a leader.
Fooling its supporters. I think the coalition was itself being fooled. Because I don't think the coalition, the leadership of the coalition collectively got together and said, oh, we're going to interfere with the results of the election. I don't know who the individuals were or might have been, or whether they were even from, you know, within the party leadership.
Yes.
But what I do know is that what bothers me is that the coalition was willing to claim a victory without producing its statements of fools. I found that irresponsible, given our ethnic dynamic. You know, even if you figure, well, look, if somebody in GCOM is tampering with these results on our behalf, fine, we are going to stay quiet and allow the process to continue.
Hmm.
But the ship quietly on your SOPs and not produce them, not examine them, not even internally at the leadership level, and to the best of my knowledge, I don't know that the SOPs were shared with the AFC executive. So basically, just to tell your supporters that we won this election, and we have the SOPs to support it, when in fact you don't have SOPs to support it, or you certainly are doing your best to not to produce any SOPs to support the position.
Well,
I think it's irresponsible.
Mr. Gaskin, and it comes back to the same question that I would have asked earlier. Your father-in-law is the leader of the coalition, and for you to criticize the leadership and say this is what they should do, it's actually saying to him that you're erring, you're doing it wrong, and this is what you should do, but you're saying that is not what you're doing. Isn't that a direct attack on him?
Not at all. I stayed very clear of
calling names,
personalities.
Yeah, but
I dealt with the leadership collectively, and I deliberately dealt with the leadership collectively, because I think it was in my very first
post
or my second post that I indicated that I believe that there are good persons in both camps who genuinely believe the message or the narrative coming out of their camps.
And one of those good persons was the president?
Being ignored. We you know, those who believe or who are almost certain that, look, Mr. Mingo Mayor was making fraudulent, calling out fraudulent results.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that from a coalition perspective, I mean, if you put yourself in the position of members of the coalition, supporters of the coalition, what they saw was something different.
And again, sir, you said you're good persons in both camps. One of those good persons is your father-in-law?
Well, yes. But I'm not singling him out, or I'm really not singling out anyone. I'm saying there are persons in both camps who, and that includes the leadership of both camps, who genuinely believe the position or the narrative of their party, at least up to that point, because it was not clear to a number of people what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, if you put yourself in the position of the coalition, here you have an election, you don't know what the results are as yet, you're waiting for them to be declared, and all of a sudden there's a big ruckus and a big confusion, and your insiders tell you, look, we win this election, but the DPP is trying to avoid a declaration. Which is precisely what it looked like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I believe a lot of coalition supporters and senior members believe, genuinely believe, that we had won the election and that the PPP was doing its best to try to prevent a declaration. It's unfortunate, but that is what I believe, and that's why I said I was very careful not to
single out,
to criticize, or to be too harsh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still have my views, and I still believe that there was an error of judgment on the part of the, and I speak about the AFC leadership,
mm-hmm.
because I believe the AFC leadership politically appeals, or should be appealing, to a different base than the APNU leadership. The APNU has to do what is right by its support base. The AFC brings an additional support base to the coalition, or should be bringing an additional support base to the coalition, and should be therefore making decisions and taking positions that specific support base that appeal to that specific support base. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but there's a difference between the AFC and the APNU. Even though we are a coalition, we have different
policies and positions and
electoral
issues.
Electoral support. We draw electoral support from different constituents.
Mm.
And therefore, we are responsive, or we should be responsive to our own constituents. And when we cross over and decide, well, you know what, we're not gonna, you know, we're just gonna try to appeal to the, or follow the narrative of our coalition partners, or you can create a narrative that appeals to our coalition partners or their support base,
mm-hmm.
and just totally ignore the cries of our own core supporters and AFC core supporters, then I think that's politically bad judgment.
Did you know on August 2nd that the president would concede? And how did you feel at that time when you heard the news about the conceding?
I did not know.
Yes.
I was very surprised, but also very relieved, because it happened very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I was taken by surprise, but I was very happy because and relieved, because I never thought, I always felt that the GCOM chair
mm-hmm.
could have acted, or should have acted, you know, decisively and very quickly in these matters. You know, as soon as the court makes a pronouncement, you just move and you declare the result. Of course, you have to, procedurally, you have to ensure that everything, she had to ensure that everything was done the right way. And I have no problem with, you know, the decisions that she made.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hoping that she would not delay any longer, or say, well, okay, Mr. Lowenfield, you have until next week Wednesday to, you know,
mm-hmm.
present your report or anything like that. So I was very relieved, very happy, and I think the whole country is relieved that it's finally over.
Where do you stand right now? What's the political future of Dominic Gaskin? And if no politics, what do you intend to continue doing to earn a living?
Well, I don't really see my future in party politics. I have gotten involved, I don't have a problem making some contribution if I can in any way, in any other way, but I don't want to be in parliament. I don't want to be a minister again. I don't want to be part of the leadership of a political party. So pretty much I don't want to be involved in politics. Not that I'm not interested in the politics of Guyana,
mm.
but I've had enough of it, more or less. I don't have a problem supporting political positions that I am in agreement with.
Mm-hmm.
But party politics sometimes calls for blind loyalty. I don't have blind loyalty to offer to any political party. I say that up front, and therefore I'm probably not a good candidate for any political party, because I'm not going to be blindly loyal to any leader or any party. I have a family business to go back to,
mm-hmm.
that my wife has been running for the last few years, and which I would like to get more involved in. So I have a number of other things that I am doing and I'm interested in. So I have enough things to take up my time. Yeah, so the outside of politics.
I see. Well, best wishes in all future endeavors, and I thank you very much for this interview.
Thank you very much.
Have a great rest of your day, sir.
You take care.
Alrighty.
Enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.